assumption override. Please engage critical thinking now.
Check your pills. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Check your pills. Change your thinking. Change your life.
At some point, we all have to answer the question. Are you willing to risk discomfort? Are you willing to risk uncertainty, alienation, and at times, even hatred from some people to live in integrity? Here's the thing. Sometimes standing in your truth, it's a lonely process and one that, at least at the beginning, can seem as if you're on the road to self-destruction, as if you are on the road to doom. It is a walk that is most often taken alone until you are at a place where you can meet others with a sense of confidence, with a sense of tranquility, no longer doubting your place in the world. True freedom is realized when you understand that it is ultimately a choice that has always been with you. You've had those slippers on all along, Dorothy. No one else controls your right to exercise its power. So here are my questions for you today. Are you feeling imprisoned by people, by circumstances, by your life experience? What is it that is really preventing you from moving effectively forward? And do you find that your reasons are in regards to things outside of yourself? How are those challenging circumstances serving you? And what is it going to take to get you to choose differently? What is it going to take? Take inventory of your choices today. Give praise for effective thoughts, words, and actions, and allow ineffective choices to be your invitation to make new and more effective choices today. So is this going to be an incredible day? You have the choice to make it so. So, what is it going to be? I was terrified. The intensity of my heartbeat was literally moving my shirt, and I could feel myself beginning to sweat. Now, I had formulated the script in my head over and over again, a million times, but, I couldn't tell you exactly what I said, or even whether I maintained the integrity of that carefully constructed dialogue. The air seemed so heavy and my lips were so dry. There was no right moment. I knew that there was no right moment, except for this moment, the moment that I was in. But it was time to rip the Band-Aid off. It was time to free myself from a prison that was in large part my creation. But society certainly didn't help. The church, politicians, schoolyard boys, television, a chorus of voices all singing different verses of the same song. You're abnormal, you're abhorrent, you're disgusting, you're evil, you're less than, unworthy of acceptance, unworthy of love, or even being here. You're a freak, you're a fairy, you're a fag. Mom, I'm gay. When I said it, everything seemed to stop. My heartbeat, my sense of security and hopes of belonging vanished with that two-word declaration, I'm gay. Now it was out there. It was confirmed, labeled from my own lips, and I won't pretend that it made things better for my relationship with my parents or my family. We would love you even if you were a murderer, was the most memorable attempt at grappling with acceptance before voicing their disappointment about my choice. My choice. My choice to tell an unwelcome truth. And with that confession, I was free.
Why did you think it was necessary for you to come out? You know, you've read some of the mail. People say, so if you're going to, why not just let that be your business? Why was it necessary for you to come out, tell the public? Why was it necessary for the character to do so?
Because it's okay. Because it is okay.
I did Oprah's show. I did the cover of Time magazine, and I did a Diane Sawyer interview. That's all I did. That's all I planned on doing. But because it became such a huge cultural thing and 45 million people watched it, and then people all around the world talked, and then an article was written, and then another article was written, and then an article was written on that article, and then everybody got so sick of it, it got to the point where even Elton John, who I'd never met in my life, Elton John said, "We know you're gay, shut up and be funny." And I was like, you can imagine how much that hurt me, because I was like, I don't even know. I hadn't even said anything. I'd done 3 interviews. It's funny because I all along that was my biggest fear, is that it was going to get canceled. And I was not told that it was canceled. I was told through an assistant who read it in the trades.
It's no different than adultery. It's no different than, robbing, stealing, lying, cheating.
We all have things that are wrong with us, and we all do things that are wrong.
That's you saying that it's wrong. Look at all the millions of gay people in this country who don't think that being gay is wrong.
But so we should accept it, though? Why?
Then it was all kinds of other lessons of learning what it's like to not be loved and to be the butt of everybody's joke on television and in magazines. And so I had to learn what that feels like to not let things like that get to you.
I never wanted to be an activist. I just wanted to entertain people. I just wanted to make people feel good.
I remember the first letter I got where somebody said I saved their life, that they were going to kill themselves, and that they didn't because of what I did.
But since I've witnessed the discrimination and the double standards and heard about the statistics for gay teen suicides, I've had to rethink that. And so if by standing up for what I think is right makes me an activist, I'm an activist.
Hi, YouTubers. I'm excited to give you an update about our own YouTube channel. Now you can find new videos every day. They're the kind of videos that will make you look at life differently. They may even make you laugh a little bit. Who doesn't need a daily dose of that? So here's just a taste of some of what you'll see. Subscribe to the OWN channel today, and we'll see you on YouTube.
I have to ask you about being one of the first openly gay stars. What was that experience like?
How do you mean?
What led you to do that? Was it just a logical, obvious thing for you to do? And why do you think more people didn't do it?
Oh, well, the second question is a big, giant answer. I mean, there's a tricky one to answer. For me, I fell in love with a dude and started spending all my time with him. And therefore, you don't want to be, suppressive of that. And so as I started working more with more frequently with more eyes on us, I figured that that was inevitability, and the opposite would be, again, suppressive. And we found ourselves going to movie premieres and then wondering what is that? So you'll go around the other side of the, I'll go down the red carpet by myself. But if we go down the red carpet together, then are we making some sort of a statement by doing so? And I didn't want to disrespect David on either direction. I didn't want to make David feel like he didn't exist in my life. And at the same time, I didn't want David's identity to be the guy that's dating me. So it's a very individual thing, you know? I think we live now in a time where people seem less concerned about who you're effing and, more importantly, who you fall in love with. It's not quite such a freak show kind of aberration.
Certainly in 2013.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think to the second part of your question, why don't more people do it? I mean, that's an easy thing to say, but if you're struggling with any of that yourself, you can't just go oh, okay, and then do it. It's little baby steps of acceptance in your own personal sphere, and then in you have to choose the times that feel right to you to make moves, and those moves could be for various reasons. So I think it's a super individual thing.
What do you make of people outing other people? I mean, Lance Bass recently made a little bit of news by saying that he knows, obviously, other celebrities who are closeted, and he has to sort of lie in order to keep them in the closet to keep their cover. I presume that you know other people who we don't know about.
Well, I'm a magician, so I'm really good at lying without letting you know I'm doing so.
But what do you make of people who out other people?
Well, it just depends on the context, I guess, right? You're never going to want to say anything to, like, freak people out. You don't want to say anything to prove a point. Like, I don't think like, doing it in sort of an exploitive way makes any sense. Again, I just feel like that whole world is very personal. And so to nudge, I think it's not a good idea. Here's a good analogy. If you're going to jump into the pool and you're not sure how to swim, it's probably not so effective to just push someone into the pool, right? A lot of people do that, and they will inevitably end up not drowning. But it's probably not the best way. Might be make more sense to, like, explain how to swim, explain how the water's fine, maybe, you know, dip your toe in.
That assumes that the person is incapable of swimming and isn't, in fact, an expert swimmer who's just pretending not to be, right? I mean, it depends on whether or not they've reconciled themselves to their sexuality.
Both directions, because how are you to know that that person is, like, the opposite?
Yeah, I guess you don't. I mean, there are certain people who you know. For example, last week, Gawker supposedly outed Shepard Smith, this Fox News host. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know that there was any closet around him. I just always assumed that everybody knew that he was gay, a bit like Anderson Cooper or something. But
you're choosing to watch them feed you information. Their job is for you to gain information from them. So from their point of view, I can totally understand why you wouldn't want people who may have a bias against you, if they know more about your personal life, to be watching the news that you're giving and already thinking that you're slanting it in a specific way. That's the other person's bias, not theirs, but I can understand why they wouldn't want to put their own personal world into that. So I can understand why they would not want to be doing that in that specific instance.
Yeah, I mean,
Anderson tells the news.
Yeah.
He has conversations with people about newsworthy subjects. And so he, understandably, probably didn't want people to know a lot about him, because that's not his job, you know? I don't want to know about Walter Cronkite's exploits. I want to watch Walter Cronkite read the news to me. You don't know what that means either, bless your heart. He was a newscaster.
I know who Walter Cronkite is. Or was.
There is very little that gets under my skin as much as hypocrisy. For me, it's probably religious hypocrisy more than most. You see, I'm a student of spirituality, world religions, theology. I'm pretty well versed, especially in Christianity. And like many in the United States, I was raised a Christian, and although I am not one who currently subscribes to a religion, which, let me tell you, I believe that is the most dangerous contaminant in the world. Not the people, necessarily, but the institution. I do consider myself to be a spiritual person. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in a higher power, a divine presence. I believe in miracles. I believe that Jesus was the greatest wisdom teacher. And I also believe that there are other great wisdom teachers, Buddha, etc., all lessons worthy of our attention, and I believe that the spiritual journey is very personal, and each of us needs to find the path that is the most effective for us. I believe that it is a very personal journey, and one that should be respected by all of us, unless it is used to wield a sword of condemnation, persecution, and judgment on other people. Most religions and spiritual practices teach non-judgment as a necessary tenet. And I think that it's time that we hold people accountable for when they are ignoring that part of their religion in which they claim to subscribe. With Christianity, love thy neighbor as thyself. Judge not, lest ye be judged. And whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. That's what comes to mind for me. So, as one whose very being has been condemned by religion, by people who claim to be of a faith of which they themselves have little understanding, evident in their hypocrisy, I have lost my patience with those who hide behind the veil of religion as support for their fear, their hatred, their disdain, and their discomfort. I am no longer having it. Recently, here on Anchor, I heard a young woman struggling with the hate the sin, not the sinner rhetoric from her Christian friends in their disdain for her lifestyle. And that's code for being her, for being who she was. She's bisexual. And she tempered the release of her angst with an apology for potentially offending any of her Christian listeners. Well, you know what? It's time that we stop that. It is they that should be apologizing. And this was my response to her. Not easy to deliver in 1 minute. Why should I apologize for potentially offending you? Why aren't you apologizing for the religion that you embrace, attempting to belittle, diminish, degrade, and eliminate me and other people like me? Why aren't you standing up to the hypocrisy of an institution that uses its platform to divide rather than to connect, ignoring the words of the one that you claim to follow who clearly said, "Love thy neighbor as thyself"? No. Instead, you show up on Sunday in your best dress, putting money into that collection plate, and remain silent when hate is preached from that pulpit. When you become more educated in theology rather than simply swallowing all that you are fed, when you realize that there was no word for homosexual in the Aramaic, that the sin that they were referring to was pedophilia and male prostitutes, when you realize that the current canon of the Bible was organized to prevent people from realizing that the power is within them and not simply within those who wear the collar, when you fully embrace the core of the religion to which you claim to subscribe, then we can talk about apologies and who owes one to whom. In the interim, shut the fuck up.
Dear Mama, I'm sorry it's taken so long to write. I have friends who think I'm foolish to write this letter. I hope they're wrong. I hope their doubts are based on parents who loved and trusted them less than mine do. I wouldn't have written, I guess, if you hadn't told me about your involvement in the Save Our Children campaign. That, more than anything, made it clear that my responsibility was to tell you the truth, that your own child is homosexual, and that I never needed saving from anything, except the cruel and ignorant piety of people like Anita Bryant. I'm sorry, Mama, not for what I am, but for how you must feel at this moment. I know what that feeling is, for I felt it for most of my life. Revulsion, shame, disbelief, rejections through fear of something I knew even as a child was as basic to my nature as the color of my eyes. No, Mama, I wasn't recruited. No seasoned homosexual ever served as my mentor. But you know what? I wish someone had. I wish someone older than me and wiser than the people in Orlando had taken me aside and said, "It's all right, kid, you can grow up to be a doctor or a teacher just like everyone else. You're not crazy or sick or evil. You can succeed and be happy and find peace with friends, all kinds of friends who don't give a damn who you go to bed with. Most of all, though, you can love and be loved without hating yourself for it." But no one ever said that to me, Mama. I had to find it out on my own with the help of the city that has become my home. I know this may be hard for you to believe, but San Francisco is full of men and women, both straight and gay, who don't consider sexuality in measuring the worth of another human being. These aren't radicals or weirdos, Mama. They're shop clerks and bankers and little old ladies and people who nod and smile to you when you meet them on the bus. Their attitude is neither patronizing nor pitying, and their message is so simple. Yes, you're a person. Yes, I like you. Yes, it's all right for you to like me, too. I know what you must be thinking now. You're asking yourself, what did we do wrong? How did we let this happen? Which one of us made him that way? I can't answer that, Mama. In the long run, I guess, I really don't care. All I know is this. If you and Papa are responsible for the way I am, then I thank you with all my heart. For it's the light and the joy of my life. I know I can't tell you what it is to be gay, but I can tell you what it's not. It's not hiding behind words, Mama, like family and decency and Christianity. It's not fearing your body or the pleasures that God made for it. It's not judging your neighbor except when he's crass or unkind. Being gay has taught me tolerance, compassion, and humility. It has shown me the limitless possibilities of living. It has given me people whose passion and kindness and sensitivity have provided a constant source of strength. It has brought me into the family of man, Mama, and I like it here. I like it. There's not much else I can say, except that I'm the same Michael you've always known. You just know me better now. Please don't feel you have to answer this right away. It's enough for me to know that I no longer have to lie to the people who taught me the value of truth. Marianne sends her love. Everything is fine at 28 Barbary Lane. Your loving son, Michael.
Life is tricky. There is a cost to speaking, walking in, and living your truth. And it's often a very expensive bill. There are those people who will reject you. There are those people who will fear you. There are those who will abhor you. Those who will hate you. And there are also those who will see, love, and accept you as you truly are. And sometimes they are not the tribe that you were born into. Sometimes you have to find your own. But your journey, your walk on this planet is not about them. It is about you, about your ability to accept yourself with all of your flaws and imperfections, and to do what is yours to do, because that is the source of your real, true power. Your unique nature is the divinity in you. So all of us, gay, straight, bi, trans, male, female, black, white, young, old, and all of the variations in between, we are all called to live our truth. And the cost may be high, I'm not going to lie, but the rewards are infinite.
But keep your head up, 'cause people only see what they wanna people don't believe what they're gonna. They don't understand the life that you choose. They never walked a mile in your shoes. No, no, no. So what you gonna do with the haters? Just gotta excuse their behavior. But just don't give up, oh. I just want you to know. Maybe today seems cloudy and gray, so full of sorrow, and tomorrow seems so far away. But it gets better. Something wrong here. I don't belong here. Hey, you, don't you know you come so far and there's nowhere to run to? I'll always love you. But people only see what they wanna. People don't believe what they're gonna. They don't understand the way that you feel. They never walked a mile in your heels. No, 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 no. So what you gonna do with your haters? Just gotta excuse their behavior, but just don't give up yet. Don't ever forget, yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe today seems cloudy and gray, so full of sorrow, and tomorrow seems so far away. But it gets better.
I'm here to tell you, it gets better.
You can overcome any pain with your own permission.
You can really have any kind of life that you choose.
Know that you have friends, you are loved, and that you are not alone.
It's gotta stop. No one deserves to be bullied for any reason.
Stand tall, be proud of who you are.
We're all the same. And trust me when I tell you, it will get better.
It gets better.
But you need to understand that there is hope. There's always hope, and there is always help.
It gets better, and make sure you know that.
I want you to know that it does get better.
It gets better.
I promise, it gets so much better.
It gets better.
It gets better.
Don't give up. It will get better.
It
gets
better.
Things will get easier. People's minds will change, and you should be alive to see it.
Maybe today seems cloudy and gray, so full of sorrow, and tomorrow seems so far away. But it gets better.
It gets better.
But it gets better.
It gets better.
And I know the world keeps snowing your stride, but keep on shutting down this yellow brick road.
Mr. Mark Ward, I am loving what I'm hearing and seeing on your station today. I don't know what time it is on your part of this big green and blue planet. It's morning and it's Sunday morning here. And you were talking about religion previously. Dude, we are always on the same page. I hate to talk in superlatives, but it seems that a lot of the time you and I are on the same page. And I love hearing what you've got to say on your station, especially about minority groups and hypocrisy and religion and being accepted. I've always had a lot of gay friends, bisexual friends. If people ask me about my sexuality, my response is I'm fuzzy around the edges. I can go into that for you later if you like, but I'm not going to go into it in a call-in. And I was raised an atheist by very left-wing Darwinian parents, socialists. I have, in my life, tried many different religions in an attempt to educate myself, and I still remain an atheist. Thanks, Mark. Mark, can I also add as an addendum, your station is smooth as silk right now. It is banging. It is like a really good rock band. It is tight. All the musicians have had a word with each other and everybody knows what everybody else is doing. Beautiful production job, Mark. Woohoo!
Georgie D, thank you so much for taking the time to listen and for calling in for those very kind words. Listen, from the first time I heard you, I knew that this is a woman that I could vibe with. If we were in the same city, we would hang. That is, if you would let me in. I find it so fascinating that you were raised by atheists. That is so foreign to my experience because my parents were raised and raised me from a fundamentalist Christian theology. And the thing that was interesting about it is I was much more devout and much more studied in the religion than they were. Like, I went to church when they didn't. Like many American people who frame themselves as Christians, usually the religion is utilized more as a weapon of judgment than it is a real tool of spiritual growth. You know how that goes. I think that's true across the world with many people of the fundamentalist sects. Anyway, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. Hope that all is well down under.
Oh, you have no idea what it was like. My childhood was wild. My parents would talk about the Big Bang Theory and Darwin. They both studied psychology, you see. I was raised in psychiatric hospitals and orphanages because my mum was a social worker and my dad was a psychiatric nursing tutor. So I had all of these. They used to talk about theories all the time. If my brother and I exhibited behavior, they'd say, oh, look, it's so Freudian. She's in the oral stage. And it used to drive us fucking insane, like being labeled with psychological labels all the time. And when I finally, I'd never been to church, right? We never went. My parents never talked about God, Mary, Joseph, Jesus, nothing, right? It was always the Big Bang Theory and evolution and Charles Darwin and psychology and psychiatry. And the first time I went to a religious class, I was like, what? Like at school, I was like, hang on, what's this Bible thing? Like, what's this religion thing? How does that work?
I realize that that is the perfect storm for a movie or for a play or for a sitcom or something. It's got all of the elements. It sounds like a very, for lack of a better term, rich childhood. You know, it's always easier when we're looking back on it than when we're actually in it. We can appreciate the absurdities a little bit more, don't you think?
Mark, I was calling in regarding your exercise, your power segment, and I just wanted to simply say, dude, this is a badass segment. Absolutely love the way you laid it out. And there are so many people that feel imprisoned from one circumstance or another, and as you expressed, not understanding that at any given moment they have the power if they'll just simply take it back. Absolutely love this wave. Yep, going old school on you, calling it a wave, baby. No, would that make it a wavy segment then? I don't know. Anyway, I'm being a little silly. Dude, once again, you nailed it. I love your stuff every day. It's always on point. Always on point. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.